get up at, and this says I was born to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like what it says, because the world's telling you, no telling how the world tell you how you was born, born to do something perverse or weird.
Yeah.
But listen, the Bible said we was created in His image, and listen, if you're here this morning, you might be a bus kid and feel like you know people don't see you or nothing. But look, the Lord sees you.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something this morning. He created you to serve Him.
Amen.
I don't care who you are, what you've done, or where you've been, or how discouraged you are. God's got a plan for you,
amen.
Man, that helps me this morning. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Going that good singing? Say amen.
Amen.
Man, that makes me glad I get to preach this morning.
Well, thank God he'll be there.
Amen. I don't see how y'all stand just to sit there. How do you stand it? I like that little boy said he went to church every Sunday and he told his mom, he said, "Mom, I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up." And she said, "Really? That's good, son." He said, "Well, I got to go to church anyway. It looks like a lot more fun to get up there and bless everybody out than have to sit there." Maybe that's what's happened to me. I don't know. But I'm glad I'm saved. And you know, I've been through enough. I've been through enough to know He's going to take care of me. And some of you have been through enough to know He's going to take care of you. Been through enough. If we stay here, we're going to go through some more. It ain't going to get no easier in this world. That's right, brother. Amen. There's enough gas in the tank to get us all home, people. Amen. God's got enough gas in the tank. Amen. Hit the sail. Listen, you know what we're doing? We're getting warmed up for heaven. Can you imagine people that ain't never praised the Lord in their whole life and they get to heaven? We're up there doing gainers. I'm going to do gainers down the street like it. And up there going, whoop, whoop. No, you better learn how here. You better learn how here. Amen. This is the quietest world you're ever going to live in. If you go to hell, they're going to be screaming. If you go to heaven, they're going to be shouting. And I'm glad I'm going to heaven this morning. God's been good to me. Well, praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 1 this morning. The book of Matthew, chapter number 1 today. The Lord is good. Matthew chapter number 1. This is not necessarily Christmas message, but it's a Christmas scripture, and we use it every year, and I'm going to do it a little bit different maybe than I have before. Verse number 21. Let's go ahead and look at verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Everybody looking at it, please. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. I want to preach this morning on the subject, there's something about that name. Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. There's just something about that name. We used to sing that song when I first got saved, and it said, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let's think for a little while this morning about that name. Just the name itself. There is no other name in all the world like the name of Jesus. Just the mention of His name will change the atmosphere anywhere you go. If you don't believe it, go to work, go anywhere you want to go. We'll be going to get out tracks, preach pretty here in the next couple of weeks. You just walk anywhere and say, Jesus. Walk in any restaurant, any place, and say, let's talk about Jesus. You are, there's no other name like that name. I promise you, it don't exist. The name itself, as you know, means Jehovah saves. Yet Jesus, Jehovah saves. It's that same as the Old Testament word, Joshua, had that same name. And the Hebrew words have numerical values. And somebody figured it that the numerical value of the name Jesus is 888. Anybody who knows Bible numerology knows that the number 8 in the Bible stands for new beginning. It means starting all over. You can see it from creation. God created 6 days, and on the 7th day, He rested. Then the 8th day, which would have been the first again, He starts all over again. The week goes Sunday, first day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the last day of the week. That's 7. And then the 8th is another Monday, same as the first. The 8th is the same as the first. As Brother Jason was playing there a minute ago, this piano here this morning has 8 or 7 notes on it. All it has. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. That's it. That second do, same as that first do. It only has 7. That's it. Everything Mozart, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, Beethoven, anybody ever wrote was made out of them 7 notes. Those black notes are high, sharps and flats. But those 7 major notes, that second do, 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 same thing. But the middle one, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, that's it. And that's music. Every bit of music in the world, God created it with 7 notes. Did you know? They say the cells in your body change different every 7 days. Do you realize this morning that Noah in the ark, there back in the Old Testament, when God made the ark and He drowned the whole creation, there was 8 people in that ark. 8. And you know what? They come out and repopulated the whole world. 8 people. New beginning. Starting all over again. Do you realize in the book of Colossians, the Bible tells us over there in the book of Colossians that we are, in Colossians chapter 2 verse 11, we are made circumcised of the Spirit of God. When you get saved, cut your spirit loose from your body. It's called spiritual circumcision. You know when they circumcised them little Hebrew boys in the Old Testament? On the 8th day. That was a picture of a new beginning. You do know 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It all represents something new. The name of Jesus represents starting all over again. See, a man, if you were back in Bible days, you might go down the street and see this man. And this man's running down the street shouting, and you say, who are you? And he said, I was blind. He said, I used to be blind, couldn't see a thing. But a man named Jesus put clay on my eyes, and now I can see everything clearly. There's another man shouting, running down the aisle. You say, who are you? He said, I used to sit at the gate of the temple, and I was lame, and I could not get up. And he said, there's a fellow come by one day, and I looked out like that, and I wanted something, an offering or something like that. And he said, that preacher looked down at me, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He said, I've been jumped up and shouting ever since. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, there is something about that name. Ain't nobody got a name like that. I'm telling you this morning, thank the Lord, it is a prophesied name. The Bible talks about, he said, before he's ever born, thou shalt, future tense, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. It is a predetermined name. The Bible had it, the Lord already had it picked out before he was ever born. Somebody said, well, I'm going to have a baby here in a few months, and I've done got it named. That's the way Jesus done. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Not only that, it's a proclaimed name. There ain't no other name in the world been proclaimed like the name of Jesus. We used to sing a little song called No Other Name. No other name. Carrie used to sing it. We'd sing along with it. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, I remember old John Lennon. He got on TV and John Lennon said, the Beatles, meaning the Beatles, are more popular than Jesus. And he said, Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. Well, I don't mean to be ugly this morning, but we see who vanished and shrunk. The Beatles. I mean, they 300 buildings in Burke County with people meeting in them by the thousand this morning honoring John Lennon. Amen. There ain't 300 buildings in Burke County this morning and 100,000 of them across the United States. I'm talking about how great Hitler was or Mussolini or Buddha or even Muhammad. And I'll tell you what, by the literal millions this morning, by the millions today, there's people lifting up them songbooks, singing them. I don't care if Hollywood erases his name. It don't matter if they want to leave him out. It don't matter how they smell him. Glory to God, that name still stands as the highest, greatest name. There's something about that name, people. Ain't nobody got a name like he's got. Lord have mercy, you could take Johnny Carson and Madonna and Lady Doo-Doo and all them pervs on TV, and you could stack them all up together, and they can't match up to his name. I'm telling you, that night I got saved, it wasn't Buddha that helped me. It wasn't his name. It was the name of Jesus that I called on. It is a proclaimed name, but it's a persecuted name. It's a name that the world hates. As a matter of fact, there's people killed over it. There's people had their head cut off because they proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. It's a divisive name. I mean, it'll divide the crowd. You know, the world don't care how religious you get. They don't even care if you believe in God, as long as you don't attach that name Jesus to it. They want a neutral, supreme being that everybody can believe in, and just some good old guy sitting up in the sky that's going to love us all and be good to us. Just as soon as you attach that name, Jesus, that sets you apart from every other group in this world and the Bible. That's why the Bible calls them Christians. That's what this war on Christmas is all about. That's why they don't like the tree and the Christmas songs and the baby in the manger. They said years ago, it was Christmas time, and one of them old atheists is out there, and then all the atheists come on up in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And them atheists come out there, and they said, away with the manger. No crib, no bed. They don't want Jesus. They said, we don't believe in him. Well, we don't believe in the Virgin Mary. We don't believe. And the mayor of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, got on the radio, and he said, perhaps the reason that the ACLU and the atheist group have no room for Jesus Christ and don't believe in the Christmas story is that probably if one searched out the entire organization of the ACLU, one would not find three wise men or a virgin. That's pretty good, ain't it? That's what he said. I'm glad to say this morning, brother, that kings and kingdoms will all pass away. It's a persecuted name. They hate his name. But I want to tell you something, it's a precious name. That's the name that people call on when they're in the hospital at night. Brother, when the baby's fever goes up to 103 and 4, Lord have mercy, them girls over there was little. I mean, when the fever would go up, and I remember thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? And I didn't call up the president. I didn't call up the athlete. I didn't call up a movie star. I remember getting down and putting my hand on their head and saying, dear Jesus, would you help? It's a precious name. It's a name you can call on when you're going to the graveyard to put one of your loved ones in the ground. It's a name you can call on, brother, when you get them divorce papers in the mail and you can call on his name. It's a name you can call when you get laid off work and, brother, you can't make it another day. It seems like his name like nobody else's name. It's a prevailing name. Amen. It's the only name under heaven by which every knee is going to bow. Do you know that every knee that's ever been, never will be, is going to bow at that name? Think about it. I mean, we're talking Hitler. We're talking atheists in Hollywood. We're talking people who spit on his name. We're talking about members of that group who make a cross submerged in human urine and call that art. We're talking about the atheists that put up the billboards that said, no Christ, no Christmas. Every knee that's ever been on this planet will one day bow and say he's Lord. Now, you can do it now of your own free will, or you'll do it then against your will. Take your pick. One man said, I ain't bowing to nobody. We'll see about that, big boy. If a devil's got knees, he's going to bow. If a demon got knees, they're going to bow. Things under the earth, same things on the earth, things in the heaven, every knee will bow at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, Madeline Mary O'Hara, the woman whom the devil used to get prayer and Bible out of our public school system back in the early 60s, will one day bow and say, he's Lord. Marilyn Manson, that I use in my video presentation when I preach to young people at camp and stuff, where he stands in the behind the pulpit at a rock concert and rips the pages out of a Bible and then throws them out to the crowd. One day, Marilyn Manson will bow. You say, he'll never bow. Oh, yes. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that going to be something? We'll be over there somewhere on the side of the door. I told you. I tried to tell you. You wouldn't listen. I went ahead and got it over with when I was 18 years old. He's been Lord in my life ever since. I ain't always been what I ought to be. But brother, he's always been what he said he'd be. He's a foundation that'll never fall. You know, when an earthquake comes, your building shakes. He ain't going to shake. They said this little boy one time. Said he got out and he was, a boat wrecked or something, and his daddy went for help. And he said, son, you stay right there. And there's a big old rock in the middle of that river. And he put him right on that rock. And he went for help. He said, son, I'll be back. You stay right there. And he went to town and he went and got a bunch of rescue workers. And early, stayed there all night. Early the next morning, they got back and they said, son, his daddy come back and he grabbed him. And the little boy said, daddy, I'm so glad. He said, son, were you scared? He said, I was scared. He said, son, did you shake? He said, I shook and trembled all night. But he said the rock didn't. He said that rock stayed right there under my feet solid. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there's been many a time I've shook. There's been many a time the devil shook me all the way down. I've been scared of many a time that I was not going to make it. But underneath me, there's something that don't shake. It's the rock. He's a foundation that never falls. He's a fortress that will never run out of room. Back in the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge. And if you studied that, you know that the cities of refuge were these, I think it was six cities or something like that, where that people could run when they committed a crime. In other words, they have like a little city called the city of refuge. And if you kill somebody, there's an accident or something, you hit them, and their family was going to come kill you or something. Back then, they just take matters in their own hands, and if a man was running from them, he could run, and he'd get in one of them cities of refuge, and they couldn't touch him. And they said that he would stay there. You know what Jesus is? He's a fortress that'll never run out of room. The devil's after us. The devil hates us. But every one of us that's saved here today has run into the city of refuge. By the way, you know how long they got safe in that city of refuge? The Bible said they were safe as long as that high priest in that city was alive. As long as he was alive, their enemies couldn't touch them. He is our high priest, folks. You know how long we're safe? Till Jesus dies. You know when that's going to happen? Never. He's alive forevermore. We're safe forever and ever. We're saved forever. We belong to Him. He is a fortress that never runs out of room. He's a flower that will never lose its fragrance. Amen. He's a friend that will never leave you. Well, I tell you what, it hurts when friends desert you. It hurts. You ever been deserted by a friend? You ever had somebody you thought was your friend and they stab you in the back? All of us have. That's an awful feeling. You never have to worry about him doing that. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll give you a story here. Most of you, if you're a sports fan, have heard of Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, a great football player and baseball, by the way, a two-sport man. And they used to call him Neon Deion. And when you'd be going to one of them ball games, there'd be a big old sign, Neon Deion. And everybody'd say, who in the world? They'd say, that's Deion Sanders. And they said he was at the top of the world, making millions of dollars. And they said people would sit in the audience and envy him and say, man, that guy's got it made. He's got anything he wants. Later, Deion Sanders wrote his life story in a book. You know what he said? He said, I was in a bad situation. A lot of times you see these sports heroes and stuff and you think, good night, man, they got it made. You don't never know what's going on when they get home at night. He said, I was on the brink of having the best year of professional baseball ever. My stepfather just passed away. My wife was divorcing me. And it was all over the newspapers that my family life was falling apart. I began to think that it was over. Without realizing how bad off I was, I became suicidal. Here's a man up, running out there knocking home runs. And everybody think, man, wouldn't you like to be him? And he go home at night and want to kill himself. Listen, things ain't always the way people look like they are on TV and stuff. He was a millionaire, but he'd go home at night and think, my wife's going to leave me, my daddy-in-law died, my life's falling apart. He started popping pills. And he said sometimes he'd sit down and take a whole bottle of Tylenol 3, swallowing with the whole team watching. He said nobody didn't say nothing because they thought, man, he's crazy, man, what's wrong with him? But none of them wouldn't speak up and say nothing. And his life, he was getting ready to kill himself. He said this, quote, I remember sitting on the beach one day and emptying a whole bottle of Tylenol 3 capsules into my mouth right in front of the whole team. And the players acted as if they didn't see. I was crying out for somebody to talk to me, to ask me about my situation, to care that I was dying on the inside. But who could have imagined I was in so much pain? I was hurting. I had plenty of money and everything a man could want, but I was desperately empty inside. Wasn't long after that, some of those Christians started talking to him a little bit. And he said he opened his Bible one night early in the morning and opened it to Romans 10:9. And it said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, people, I'm telling you something that's better than rehab. And he said, quote, them words hit me like a ton of bricks. I knew they were meant for me, and at that precise moment, I was delivered. I put my trust in Jesus and asked Him into my life. Soon as I realized what I'd done, I was so excited I had to tell somebody. And he said, I got on the phone. He said, the only one I knew to call was my lawyer. He said, I called my lawyer. And he talked to him. He said, Eugene. He got on the phone. He said, this is Dion. He said, Eugene, I did it. I did it. His lawyer said, what, Dion? He said, I got saved. His life changed just like that. You know who done that? The name of Jesus Christ. That's who did it. And I'm telling you, the rest is history. Ladies and gentlemen, He's a name to every knee shall bow. When I fall, He lifts me up. When I fail, He forgives me. When I'm weak, He's strong. When I'm lost, He's the way. When I'm afraid, He's my courage. When I stumble, He steadies me. When I'm hurt, He heals me. When I'm broken, He mends me. When I'm blind, He leads me. There is no other name like the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll ask you something this morning. Have you ever come to Him? Have you ever done business just you and Him? Just you and Him. Has there ever been a time in your life, ma'am, sir, when you said, I believe in Jesus Christ, died for my sins. I want to go to heaven when I die. These people was up here praying at the altar a while ago. They're not talking to me. They're talking to Him. You say, well, don't you need to know what they said? No. Ain't got nothing to do with me. You've got a direct line to God Almighty through Jesus Christ. There's no other name like that name. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's moving. No one's talking. Ask you a question this morning.